The Refreshment Club, a transcribed feature presented by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. Here they are, those irrepressible refreshment clubbers headed by Don McNeil, all set with another program to demonstrate for you that refreshment should begin at home. And it can, too, with ice-cold bottles of Coca-Cola ready in your refrigerator. Order, please, order. The meeting begins with a roll call. Clark Dennis.
Hello.
Helen Jane Belkey.
Ready?
Walter Blaufuss.
Here.
The Refreshment Club Orchestra.
Here.
And Don McNeil.
Hello.
All here. Okay, Don, let's go.
Now let's all go through our little daily ritual together. All right. Get the glasses. Drop in the ice. Open the bottle. Pour out the Coca-Cola. And now refresh yourselves. Ah, good old ice-cold Coca-Cola. All right, it's first call for refreshment. We saw the sea from Follow the Fleet by the refreshmenteers led by Walter Blaufuss, who's been on the ocean so often he knows every wave by sight. We saw the sea. Indeed. All right, here's Clark Dennis, our reformed actor, who made his debut and close on New Year's Day. Remember that, Clark?
I sure do.
Taboo or not taboo? That was the question, and the audience decided in the affirmative. You know what an actor is, Clark?
No, you tell me.
I got a good definition here. An actor is a man who can walk to the side of the stage, peer into the wings filled with theatrical props, dirt and dust, other actors, stagehands, old clothes, and other claptrap, and say, "What a lovely view there is from this window."
Ooh,
that's an actor.
Atmosphere, huh?
Atmosphere, yes, sir. Well, sir, did I bring up the fact that Mr. Forty Kendall, one of our saxophonists here by profession, spoke to Walter Blaufuss a short time ago, Clark?
No, you didn't.
Didn't think I did. I overheard this conversation, struck me funny. Forty said to Walter Blaufuss, he said, "Say, Walter, do you suppose I could get off today?" He said, "Go home and help my wife clean." Mm-hmm. Walter said, "No." He said, "You're needed right here on the refreshment club." Kendall said, "Thanks, old man. I knew I could depend on you." Not bad, huh? Take a bow, Kendall. It's okay, my friend. All right, Clark, what are you going to say?
"Sweetheart, let's grow old together."
Well, now, that is a lovely thought. Put something into this.
Dear heart, we're dancing, it's time for romancing, for just we two. Heart to heart beating, my lips keep repeating, I love you. Dreams of the future arise into little blue, little eyes. Heart, let's grow old together, love like ours will never die. Hand in hand in fair and stormy weather, pals, just you and I. On our golden wedding day, dear, I love you, I still will say, dear, so let's grow old together, sweetheart, as the years roll by.
There you are. That was swell, Clark. Grand thought. I should have brought out the fact there when I was talking to Clark about his acting that I coached him in the part in which he didn't become an actor from then on. I'll take half the blame for that, Clark. Now, my friends, your radio set is going to be assaulted by something the likes of which you've never heard before. I'm sure. I believe you could tune in for 65 Sundays, including the other 6 days of the week, and never hear anything like this. This is something altogether new on the airways as far as we know. We have here what we call the famous team of Andante and Cantabile. In the person of Bill Short and Jack Rose on the mandolin and guitar, respectively. The boys play what they call a polka. It just starts somewhere and ends somewhere, and what's in between they don't know. It's just improvised as they go along, sort of an indefinite polka. And so I'd like you to meet the team of first and second ending. I'm sure you'll enjoy their work. So here they are, Bill Short and Jack Rose, the famous team of Rubato and Potato. What is this polka called, Jack?
I don't know yet, Tom.
Oh, yeah. So a little polka called I Don't Know Yet. Well, just so it's a polka, that's the thing. All right, here it is. Thought for a minute there I tuned in shortwave and got Poland. Can't you just see him swinging around there, that old polka? You don't very often hear anything like that on the air. We'll have him do another one for you sometime if you like it. That was very nice. That was the famous team of Brutus and Arbutus. They certainly went to work there. Bill Short and Jack Rose. Well, Helen Jane, now it's your turn.
Okay, Don.
You know, I had a funny dream last night, Helen. I dreamed that I saw an octopus with a coat on.
An octopus with a coat on? What kind of a coat, Don?
It was a coat of arms. And
oh.
You ever have funny dreams like that?
You bet I do.
You ever dream you're in some foreign country? I mean, not outside of the fact that these boys just played a foreign number.
That's right.
Like, for example, that lovely night in Budapest, which is the name of your number?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I believe that the time I saw a lantern slide of Budapest, that was the turning point of my life.
Well, I believe that taking a merry-go-round was a turning point in my life.
Yes. Well, after I saw the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I got a new slant on things myself. All right, let's try it. That lovely night in Budapest, strictly Hungarian. Here it is.
That lovely night in Budapest, in a little street cafe,
to be your guest as I passed your way. That lovely night in Budapest, long before the morning came, I remember that we both caressed before I knew your name. A little gypsy band was playing in a balcony above. It was the second rhapsody, but my first one of love. Though many moons have gone to rest, but the old dreams are still new. Since that lovely night in Budapest, when I was blessed with you. The old dreams are still new. Since that lovely night in Budapest, when I was blessed with you.
Very, very nice. Nice Hungarian atmosphere there. Oh, I don't know. I've never been to Budapest, but certainly takes you back to places you've never been to hear music like that. I don't know. I guess I'm tender-hearted. Some people are so tender-hearted they can't hurt any living creature, except relatives. Now presenting the man of the hour, day, week, month, and year, that intrepid philosopher and lover of the finer things of life, who answers problems of the heart and home, giving you the benefit of years of study of the classics, the voice of inexperienced Elmer. Ah, are you ready for today's letter, Elmer?
Did you ever see a corn stalk tossed with the wind on a summer day?
Yes.
Just so is me heart fluttered with emotion. Pre-seed.
Okay. here's a letter from Mr. J.R. of Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Quote.
He says, I do everything I can to make my wife happy. I know women like new clothes, and I like my wife to look chic.
I'd rather have mine looking healthy.
Yeah, quiet. Says, the other day I bought her one of these new long dresses the women are wearing.
Them long dresses certainly cover a multitude of sins. Chins.
Shins.
Shins.
Yeah. All right. Continuing, he says, but what do I get for my efforts? My wife has been nursing a grouch all week.
Oh, you've been laid up, have you?
Quiet. Look out now. And now she says that she read in the paper that, this is his wife. He says, now my wife says she read in the paper that we all eat too many cooked foods. From now on, she's decided that we'll have nothing but fresh dishes.
That's what I call a raw decision.
Yeah. He says, what can I do to get her back to normal?
After due consideration, I'd say the thing for you to do is to go eat in the restaurant and make her jealous. I'll never forget my meeting with a waitress in the Rainbow Room of Jake's Hamburger Emporium in the Bronx. I walks into her and says, sister, is this a first-class restaurant?
What'd she say?
She says, yes, but sit over in the corner. Nobody will notice you. It was love at first sight. Say, by the way, can you imagine a place where they serve you a great big T-bone steak, mashed potatoes, three kinds of salad, all the hot rolls you can eat, four different kinds of sherbet, six vegetables, three different kinds of dessert, coffee, demi-tasse, and pie, all for 15 cents?
Why, no. Where is this place?
I don't know, but can you imagine it? Toodaloo, girls.
Okay, Homer, thank you. Bob Denton, you have young folks at your home. We have young folks at our home. How about our refreshment clubbers?
Well, if you have young folks at your house, I'm sure that you've heard the plea, Mother, let's have a party. And probably some of you are planning a party for the young people in the family for tomorrow or Saturday. Don't forget to include cold and sparkling bottles of Coca-Cola. It's a natural partner of good things to eat, such as crisp toasted sandwiches, cakes, and cookies. Ice-cold Coca-Cola is simple to serve at a party, and that always helps. First, chill the bottles in your refrigerator. Then, when you're ready to serve, take the caps off the bottles and pour into glasses with a few cubes of ice in them. Coca-Cola is convenient to get, you know, in the handy 6-bottle carton. Ask for the carton where you buy your food. All right, Don?
All right, I've asked Clark Dennis to sing you an old Stephen Foster melody today. I think you'll enjoy the way he sings I Dream of Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, born like a vapor on the summer air. I see her tripping where the bright streams play, happy as the daisies that dance on her way. Many were the wild notes her merry voice would pour, many were the blithe birds that warbled them all. I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, floating like a on the soft summer air. I long for Jeannie with the gay dawn smile, radiant in gladness, warm with winning. I hear her melodies like joys gone by, sighing round my heart for the fond hope that dies, sighing like the night wind and sobbing like the rain, wailing for the lost one that comes not again. I sigh for Jeannie with the light brown hair, floating like a vapor on the soft summer air.
That was very, very pretty, Clark. Nice to hear that one again. When Helen Jane was singing that song before about the night in Budapest, I thought of an article I saw in the paper the other day about a Hungarian farmer who sleeps standing up. Of course, I don't see why you should get any particular notice for that. Every motorist knows there are just scores like him over here crossing the streets every day. And that, of course, brings us to Carol Martin, our trombonist. By a natural sequence of things, Carol Martin is the only man I ever knew who could sleep while he was having his teeth filled. Carol can do that. We had an old lady visitor in the studio the other day, and she said she enjoyed the program, but she thought it was a shame that the studio doesn't furnish enough hat racks so that Carol Martin wouldn't have to hang his on his trombone. Well, it's an old-fashioned trombone sneer you're going to hear by Carol Martin, who will be helped in this by his colleagues at the Refreshment Club Orchestra here. All right, here it goes. Boys, as Walter says, look out for the right notes here. If you see one, kill it. Here we go. Sally Trombone.
¶¶ Attaboy, Carol.
Well, that's grand. Carol Martin did that for you. And now it's memory time on the Refreshment Club. Let's refresh our memories together. God be with you till we meet again. Don't say to the fellow who's down and out, forget your troubles, cheer up, old scout. But give him a wholesome, friendly hand and say, I'm sorry, I understand. The saddest thing in life maybe will happen, who knows, to you or me. And it won't be in us to calmly smile and put it aside a little while. So cheer him over the roughest spot with sympathy. For he needs a lot. For many a heart that's tired and broken longs for the word that is never spoken. It's fine to know at the close of day that you helped someone in a human way. So give him a wholesome, friendly hand and say, I'm sorry. I understand.
You know, I got something I want to ask you or tell you.
All right, what is it?
You know, Helen Jane sits around every day knitting all the time. I mean, she's not even sociable, you know. I should think with a swell college education like she's got that she could find something better to do.
Well, I think that's wrong, Clark, because the college education doesn't make any difference. Knitting is a good way to soothe your nerves. Now, what do you think?
Oh, so you're nervous, huh?
No, I'm not, but I think it's a good thing to do when there's nothing else to do.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Where are we? What is this, anyway? I dare say. Now, just a minute. Let's take time out here and settle this thing, after all. Oh, an argument, huh? I didn't expect that. Well, I'll tell you a little story now about that. Not about knitting, but about a college education that you threw up at Helen Jane. Now, after all, a college education is nothing to be so terribly ashamed of, Clark.
I'm not belittling the college education.
No, I know. It's all right. I'll tell you a story. Once there was a guy who thought he was pretty smart, see? He was going to college, student there, and he took an examination. During that examination, he was asked to compose one verse of poetry, including the words analyze and anatomy. Here's what he wrote. My analyze over the ocean. My analyze over the sea. Oh, who will go over the ocean and bring back my anatomy? Well, I'll tell you what happened to him. The teacher hit him across the back of the hand so hard it almost took his hand off. Gosh, I couldn't play the ukulele for a week. All right, Helen Jane. Knit if you will. Have a college education if you will. But keep on arguing. I like it. The moon is grinning at me.
The moon is grinning at me for falling in love with you. The stars are smiling at me for thinking that you'd be true. They knew you'd let me down, give me the well-known runaround. They knew you'd be unfair, but still they made me care. They really played a joke on me. The moon is grinning at me for giving my heart to you. He knew you'd break it in two, was that the right thing to do? I know I'll never trust the moon, not even on a night in June. The moon is grinning at me for falling in love with you. I know I'll never trust the moon, not even on a night in June. The moon is grinning at me for falling in love with you.
All right, it's Last Call for Refreshment by Walter Blaufuss and the Refreshmenteers with the title song from Of The I Sing. And so, the Refreshment Club leaves you for today. But be ready for another session of Songs and Fun tomorrow with Clark Dennis, Ellen Jane Belke, Walter Blaufuss and the Refreshment Club Orchestra, an accordion solo by Frankie Papila, and our guest tomorrow, the Cadet. And of course, I'll be there, too. This is Don McNeil speaking. And so, until tomorrow, remember, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere.